These lessons, entitled The Home and Its Problems, were delivered by Dr. James Naismith, a physician from Peterborough, at the 20th Annual Conference of Brethren in Guelph in June 1976. Dr. Naismith.
When our children, Doug, called me on the telephone one evening and gave me my assignment for this conference, The Home and Its Problems, my initial reaction was, what problem? I said, I don't have problems. And he said, well, when you come here, we'll tell you our problems. But Doug hasn't told me any problems yet, so I guess you haven't any problems either. However, as we come to think of it, I realize that all of us have problems. Some of them are more serious than others. I praise God for the home that he's given to me, and for a near perfect life, and for all his kindness and goodness to me. But with all that, I have problems. And I must confess to you that my main problem is myself. And perhaps you can confess that to me as well. We're going to think this afternoon of some of the problems of the home. And of course, we can't cover them all because there are such a wide variety of problems that affect different homes. But I believe the Bible has principles that deal with all these problems and solutions to every problem. We're going to read a short passage of the Word of God that brings before us some of the salient problems of the home, and that brings before us the solution to these problems. I'd like you to come with me, please, to the Epistle of Paul to the Galatians, Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5, and we're going to read from verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye will. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. You want to know some of the problems? Here we are in the next two verses. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Perhaps it would be good if I read this in another translation. I'm going to read these same verses in the New International Version. And here's what it gives. The acts of a sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, and listen, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Turn back to the King James Version, verse 21, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, is there any solution to these problems? Is there any answer to them? Thank God there is. And it's in the next verse. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, or self-control. Against such there is no law. And to the Lord will bless to us the reading of these verses from his holy word. But a North American home has its problems, cannot begin safe. One indication is the number of homes that are broken, often within a very short time after they've been established. In 1975 in the United States, there was one divorce for every two marriages. There were 2.1 million marriages in 1975, and 1,026,000 6,000 divorces in the United States. Between 1974 and 1975, marriages in the States dropped by 4%, while divorces increased by 6%. We in Canada sit in complacency and we say that's just south of the border. We are not as bad as that, while they're getting pretty well on the way. But the Canadian situation isn't too far behind the situation south of the border. While in the United States there are 300 divorces per 100,000 of population, in Canada today there are 200 divorces. And I'm told that it's estimated that in the next 5 years, considering the present trend and the flood of petitions facing Canadian divorce courts at the present, that it's estimated that there will be an increase of 50% in divorces in the next 5 years. And that will bring Canada from 200 to 300 to 100,000. And that will level us with the condition in the United States at the very present time. When the Divorce Act of 1974 expanded the ground of, 1968 expanded the grounds for divorce in Canada, the divorce rate soared to 125% in 1 year over what it had been before. And subsequently it has increased at a rate of 10% per annum. It's been said that Canada now has a multi-million dollar divorce industry, with the chief financial beneficiary being divorce lawyers. It's been said that divorce is a characteristic of our modern society, every bit as much as education, insurance, and spectator sports. Between 1969 and 1973, the duration of marriage, the average duration of marriage in Canada, fell from 14.5 years to 11.8 years. Divorce. But you know, divorce is but the tip of the iceberg. And like all icebergs, there's a lot more below the surface. It's been reckoned that in the States, divorces, the poor man's divorce, constitute an equal number to legal divorces. In other words, while there are a million divorces last year, there were also a million divorces. And that means that there were as many divorces and divorces combined as there were marriages took place in the United States of America. And even so, if we include both divorces and divorces together, and we are left with marriages that don't end in one or the other, a great many of these marriages are characterized by difficulties, by problems, by unhappiness, by misery. Many are almost broken, hanging together by a very slender thread, the thread perhaps of public opinion, the thread perhaps of keeping together for the sake of the children. One or two slender threads keep these marriages together. You say, well, of course you're speaking about non-Christian homes. Yes, I'm taking the situation on the whole throughout North America. Thankfully, in Christian society, the condition is very much more satisfactory. Thankfully, the situation has not gone anything like that in Christian homes, because of scriptural teaching, because of principles that have been inculcated in our families, because of the attitude towards divorce. The situation is very much better among Christians. Yet, sadly, there are many so-called Christian homes that are all but broken, and many others in which there is constant bickering and strife and unhappiness, and still others that are far below the standard that God designs and that God desires for his people to live in. Most people who enter marriage look forward to it as a period of bliss and happiness. They look upon marriage as the door to unlimited blessing. They look upon it as the children's storybook girls who will live happily ever after. But alas, within a few weeks or months or years sometimes, at that time when they say, I do what I will, the situation has developed into one that they could never have envisaged. Disappointment and disillusion have shattered the great ideals that the young couple came to when they came to the marriage altar. The problems are various couples can be very complicated and very serious. Relatively few Christian marriages, I say relatively few, end in separation and divorce, but far too many end in far more problems than God or the partners anticipated. And so today we are going to think of some of these problems that affect our homes and the homes of people round about. I suggest to you that we can divide the problems into four basic groups, the four sources of the problems. The first source is the preparation for marriage. Problems that arise as a result of inadequate preparation. Problems that arise as a result of unwise selection of a partner for marriage. And we'll discover that these problems affect all other basic sources of our problems as well. Secondly, there are problems that arise because of the personality of the person who's married, your personality and my personality. I know we try to blame our problems on our spouse or our children, but in reality, if we were to look at it honestly and squarely, many of the problems of our marriage are due to our personality. All of us import imperfections and problems into marriage. And these problems, these personality problems, affect all our relationships, including our marriage relationships. Thirdly, there are the problems that arise because of our partnership, because of a close association in a common home on a lifelong basis with someone else who brings her share of personal problems. And however compatible we may be, friction points do occur. Unless these friction points are all by the Lord, provided by the Spirit of God and the Word of God, there are going to be problems that will arise even in compatible homes. The joy and bliss involved together will be broken as a result of the friction that arises. And finally, there are the problems arising because of parenthood. Into most homes, through time, little human beings arrive. However lovely and smiling they look when we arrive and when we take them in our arms, none of them is perfect. You see, unfortunately, they share the nature that you and I, the fathers, provide for them. And consequently, they bring their own problems, which are oftentimes multiplied or added to them. If we are honest to admit it, we can see in our offspring some of the bad traits that we can look at in ourselves. And so we can live four sources of our problems: our preparation, our personality, our partnership, and our parenthood. First of all, let's look at the first one. I'm not going to deal with this long because Brother Coleman wasn't dealt with it adequately and carefully yesterday morning. And so we don't want to say too much about preparation. Inadequate preparation, of course, for the setting up of a home, the unsatisfactory and unwise selection of a partner is bound to lead to problems. Problems that are multiplied when we consider each of the other sources that I've already mentioned. And if the adventure of marriage isn't embarked upon without careful and prayerful and considerate seeking of the Lord, then we're going to run into problems. And if there are young people here who have not yet made the selection of a partner for life, let me advise you again very strongly that in making this most important and vital decision, be sure to seek the Lord's will and guidance. Be sure to have His counsel and His guidance in making this decision. What about the Christian, however, who discovers after he or she is married that he has made the wrong choice, that there is incompatibility? What's the solution to this problem? To end the marriage? That's what the world says. All around us there are people who come to us and they say, well, I mean, I've been incompatible. I have to get a divorce. I have to get out of this. That isn't the Christian problem. That isn't the best solution. That isn't the way we answer that problem. Do we try to hold together and for the sake of the family and for the sake of society and for the sake of the friends and neighbors and for the sake of the Christian testimony? Surely there's a better way than simply trying to hold together. The Lord has commanded us, as we've seen, to love our wives. thanksgiving to husbands. His command was to submit to their husbands. This is a command of the Lord to all who belong to him. And only the Lord is able to make, to give us the strength to carry out that command. And I believe that if we seek the Lord's help, that we will be able to carry out the command that he gives. I would suggest to you that if you're running into incompatibility problems with your wife, with your partner in life, there are three things that you can do. First of all, confess your failure. Confess your failure to the Lord. Confess your failure to your partner. Secondly, be willing to place yourself unreservedly at the mercy and in the will of the Lord. Be willing to accept his will for your life, and I'm sure his will isn't the divorce court. Thirdly, yield to his spirit, who will produce his fruit in your life under his control. And I believe if you follow these three solutions, confessing your situation and your condition and your mistake to the Lord, willingness to yield to his will, and being filled and controlled by his spirit, the Lord will work out a solution to your problem. On the human level, I believe there are some things that it's possible for us to do in order that we may love our partner more. I was listening to a tweet the other day by Dr. Tim LaHaye, and it was a privilege of some of us to hear just a few weeks ago. He's from San Diego, California, and he runs Family Life Seminar. And one of the tapes that I was privileged to listen in my car just a few days ago, he told the story of his attorney, who had come to him one day, he was in his church, and he'd come to him with family problems, with life problems. The problems were of such a degree that the attorney said, "We're not keeping you from bed. We can't get together at all." So Dr. LaHaye said, "Would you like to fall in love with your wife all over again?" And the attorney said, "Well, I don't think it's possible, but I would like to." "Well," said LaHaye, "if you would really like to, I can give you a foolproof money back guarantee." He said, "I don't get any money from him, but I would be willing to give the money back." And in any case, he decided and he accepted the advice of Dr. Tim LaHaye. "Well," said Tim LaHaye, "he took out a card. He took a card out of his pocket. Nothing written on the card. He said, "I want you to write one thing about your wife that pleases you. One thing you can be thankful for. One thing about your wife that you're satisfied with." And LaHaye said, "Well, I sat for 15 minutes and there was nothing in my car." At the end of 15 minutes, there was one thing in the car. 5 minutes more, number two. And then in the process of the next few minutes, the attorney had written 10 different things that he liked about his life. "Well," said Tim LaHaye, "you go home and give thanks to God every day and as many times in the day as you can for these 10 things. When you get out of your office at night, read the book. And then as you're traveling home in the car, thank the Lord for all these 10 things about your life. That the Lord has given you a life with these 10 characteristics." Then he went home. A few 10 days later, within the 5 or 6 week period that Tim LaHaye suggested here, the husband and wife were in church together. And as they went out to church, they were sort of meeting at the end, and the wife and husband were close together as he went out. And Tim LaHaye said, "As I saw them, I realized either they were putting on a very good show or something had happened to their life." And as they went out, having shaken hands with Tim LaHaye, the wife made a step or two forward, and her husband attorney came back and said, as Dr. LaHaye says in his tape, in a stage whisper, but with a booming voice that could be heard 50 miles away, he said, "You're sleeping in the same room now." Circumstances have changed. 2 weeks later, LaHaye phoned the attorney and said, and having spoke to him about some legal business, and then in the course of conversation, he said, "By the way, did you keep that card with the 10 things? Did you memorize the 10 things about your wife?" left of here, and you know, I added 50 more things since then. But one thing you can maybe do if you are running the problems of your life because of incapability. Okay, I'm going to say about the preparation for marriage. What's the end of the sentence? The personality of each partner. And I'm not speaking about the personality of your wife or my wife. I'm speaking of your personality. Both partners contribute to the problems of the home. Few marriage breakdowns are totally one-sided. But here we are thinking of the problems relating to our own person. And if we are honest, we have to admit that we personally contribute a fair share to the problems of our marriages. My personality is a problem to me. It must be a problem to my partner and my relationship with her. Think of the countless problems that wouldn't happen if I weren't selfish and inconsiderate, if I weren't moody, if I weren't bitter and resentful and lacking in forgiveness, if I weren't quick-tempered and bad-tempered, if I weren't inconsistent and hypocritical, if I weren't suspicious and distrustful, if I weren't evil-thinking and characterized by malice, if I weren't over-anxious and worrying. And of course, the list could go on indefinitely. Some of us are using the list as included in that passage in Galatians 5 that we have read. And you can add your problems to that list, if you like. And think what a different kind of home yours would be, and what a different kind of relationship yours would be if you didn't have these sort of problems, if you didn't have these characteristics. And so is there a solution? Is there a Christian answer to these problems? Well, you know there is. When God saved us, he made us new creatures, new creations in Christ. You can excuse the unsaved for having problems, but there's hardly an excuse for the Christian who has access to the grace of God and the power of the Spirit of God. All these characteristics are manifestations of the flesh, that inner tendency that all of us have to sin and selfishness. They're shown in our lust. The lusts of the flesh that we read about in Galatians 5 and verse 16. They're shown in the works of the flesh that are the outworking of the lusts in our experience that we read in that passage that I read also in the New International Version. If we walk under the control and power of our flesh as we have a tendency to do, then we'll automatically develop in our lives the better. And the more we walk governed and controlled by the flesh, the more these characteristics will display themselves in our lives, in our offices, in our schools, in our homes, and wherever we are. You can't expect anything else. We're descendants of Adam, and we have all the characteristics of the flesh within our lives. And these are the things that give rise to many of the problems, like all of the problems really in our homes, in our marriages. But is there a solution? Yeah, there is a solution. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And if you put these characteristics in a home, what an adornment for the home, isn't it? These are the kind of furniture that you want to show off in your home. A Christian home, as we learned last night, is not a showplace for furniture, but is this not the kind of furniture that you and I should display day by day in our homes? And if this kind of furniture were displayed in our homes would be happy homes. Our homes would be homes where Christ is honored and where Christ is served, and where people who visit us would recognize that here is a godly Christian home. Then how does this come about in our home? It doesn't come about willy-nilly because we are a Christian, because we discover that we are fleshly nature within us, and that we plan to bring other things into our home. How does it come about? Then we are going to offer you three solutions. Three simple steps, but they're not really simple. They require an act of the will every time. I'm preaching the gospel to unsaved people. I sometimes express three simple steps to faith. One, admit your need of God. Two, commit your life to God. And three, submit to the Lord Jesus into the throne of your heart. I want to address you these three things are the solutions to the Christian problem. First of all, admit to the Lord and to your partner your feelings and your failures. Admit them to the Lord. Admit them also to your partner. Make a clean break with them. Admit them clearly and plainly. Don't blame the problems on her and her response to your attitude. Admit your problem. Admit it to the partner. Admit it to the Lord. And then secondly, to commit to him, the Lord, the control and the problems of our home and our lives. Commit the problems to him and ask him to do that. And then finally, submit to his will in our lives and to the control of the Spirit of God in every detail of our lives. And if Jesus Christ is acknowledged and honored as Lord of our lives, and our lives are lived in submission to him day by day, then you discover that the problems of the flesh will be dealt with and dispensed with, and you'll be able to manifest the fruit of the Spirit. So much for the problems arising from our personality. Thirdly, the third source of problems in a Christian home are the results of the partnership. The partnership. It means that marriage is the incredible entanglement of two people. And of course that's true. It's incredible that two people, often the opposite of one another, as many couples are, should become entangled together in the bundle of love. This happens in most of our homes. Sometimes the problems of one have to confront the problems of the other. But too often the problems are not only added to, but multiplied. My 10 plus 10 equals 20. But 10 times 10 is 100. You see, the larger the number, the larger the difference between multiplication and addition. And if you have a large problem or a large number of problems, and these are multiplied by a large number of problems in your partner, and then you're going to get a very, very large problem. Partnership may lead to problems. Let's think of some of the spheres of these problems. First of all, there are the spiritual spheres. And I believe in a Christian life, this is at the root of all the other problems. If we are in a right relationship with God, it won't be too difficult to get into a right relationship with one another. When we get out of touch with God, it's easy to get out of touch with a partner and with a family. It's been said, and we've had it over and over again, the family that prays together stays together. And I believe that begins with a family of two. And it should continue when the family expands to three and four and five. The family that prays together will stay together. We've been reminded several times this weekend of the vital importance in a Christian home of raising a family altar. A time every day. When with your wife and with the children when they come, you meet with the Lord. You hear his voice as you read together his word. You consider the principles that he has presented in his word, and then you pray together. I trust every one of us here has established a family altar in our home. And if you haven't up till this weekend, I trust one of your first resolutions is to go home tonight and establish a family altar. That may be difficult. We have had a family altar for 5 years. And when we go home tonight and say, dear, we're going to the family altar. Now she'll look at you and say, well, what's that? What are we going to do now? I hope none of you are in that situation. But be sure and make a stand and begin to have a family altar. Set aside a time where the Lord is honored and where the Lord is obeyed. A family altar can save a home from tragedy. I heard once, I think it was John Wesley White in his program Agape, that says that one in three marriages in the United States ends in divorce, only one in 500 marriages where there is a family altar ends in divorce. Now that's a tremendous difference between one in three and one in 500. And I would strongly suggest that every one of us establish a family altar. Have a personal prayer time and devotional time with the Lord for yourself. And be sure that you also have a time from the family, your wife and yourself, your children and your wife and yourself meet together around the family altar and speak to the Lord. And I'm sure that will go a long way to solving many of the spiritual problems in our home. And then secondly, we can think of the physical problems in our home, the problem of health. I'm thankful to the Lord for the gift of good health that He's given to me and my wife during many years of marriage, nearly 25 now. I seem very tired. Those couples who have had more than their share of sickness and incapacity, and yet have maintained a consistent Christian testimony and a good witness in Christian health. So many problems arise from the physical problem, to emotional and financial, that they need special experience of the grace of God. And God is able to give all grace to those who need it in these circumstances. Physical problems. And then thirdly, there are emotional and temperamental problems. And I guess they carry you home as well as they do in me. The emotional problems are an outburst of temper. The tendency to quarrel. The tendency maybe to pout or to spark. All these can disrupt the marriage, at least temporarily. And then we say, well, that's my emotions, that's who I'm doing. But I believe the Spirit of God can control our emotions. I believe if our lives are submitted to God, even these temperamental problems that we've had from instances will be under His control. And we can become partners that the Spirit of God can use and bless to others and bring happiness to ourselves. And then fourthly, there are sexual problems. Some people classify this in the physical realm. But I believe that sexual relationship of marriage is one that covers not only the physical realm, but the emotional realm and the spiritual realm. I believe that the act of marriage is one that links the couple together in many, many ways. That's an expression of fellowship. That's an expression of love. And that can bring joy and bliss and happiness as God designed it to bring. And I believe that God has designed the act of marriage to bring blessing to the married couple. In the Word of God, there are injunctions relating to this very thing. We read some of them at the beginning of this conference in 1 Corinthians 7. These are the responsibilities for both partners, both the husband and wife, not to deprive the other of what the Lord has given them to give to one another. And many marriages are broken on the basis of the fact that one is depriving the other of what they should be giving to them. I believe that's an important part of marriage. I'm not going to say any more about it at the moment, but we can read about it in 1 Corinthians 7, if you like, and in other parts of the scripture as well. And then, fourthly, there are the financial aspects of marriage. Dr. Hendrick, in his book, Heaven Help the Home, says, a financial skeleton works in many Christian classes. It appears periodically to haunt and harass the family. Conservatively, he said, it is estimated that 50% of the problems of marriage involve finances. Non-marital constitute a major cause of divorce in America. A cartoon picture of a cord something with a soon-to-be-wed friend. I see this, he said, that you have a happy marriage. Oh, we won't have any problems with that, with a coming married partner, as long as we don't mention money. And then the father adds, he was adding to her marriage vow an invisible exception for death to be a part. Under God, death can be a slowly rising tide that casts an unsuspecting family adrift in respect to the sea. There are many studies that have suggested and shown that finances run first as a cause of divorce. And I believe that this may be a very major cause of unhappiness and problems in Christian marriages as well. Is there a solution? Well, I don't know all the solutions to all these problems. I think there are a number of things that one should take into account in relation to this problem. Let me suggest one or two. First of all, give to God first. Not to receive God's blessings in response, but because of all the blessings you've already received from Him. given, with them given, with them for all that God has given you, give back to Him, not only in your life, but in your material possessions as well. Then secondly, manage your finances to the rest. Give overspend and live with. Then thirdly, save regularly. It's important for us to save regularly. And then fourthly, seek the Lord's guidance and the use of His material gifts, as an use of all His gifts. Ask Him to guide us as to what to do. And then finally, when children come into the home, be sure that you train your children in the proper use of the mantra. And then there's another problem that rises from the social aspects of our marriage life. Our friends, our respective families. Well, in laws are often maligned, of course, as a source of problem in marriage, and sometimes as a moment of truth in it. It can said that statistics reveal that difficulties caused by respective families are a written source with which to reckon. As Christians, we should follow the instruction and vision of the Word of God. And in Romans 12 and 18, we read, if it be possible, as much as long as in you, or as the international Western people, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. And that includes your in-laws. That is the responsibility of us to speak and manifest the Spirit of grace and the Spirit of Christ. So there is within the account of association as a result of the marriage bond. And then finally, there are the cultural problems. Cultural problems. Fixed habits and backgrounds of one or other of the partners. Dr. Carol Singer, in his book, The Pastor of a Customer Counselor, means cultural differences in the second cause that leads to marital breakdown. One speaks. Like in this one. Feedback. Aesthetic standards. Preference. I believe that you should accept your partner as pure. And if you feel that one aspect of a partner isn't very pleasant to you, you'd rather change it, now do it graciously. And do it considerately. And do it lovingly. And don't make undue demands upon it. Well, I think we've covered some of the most important problems, and yet some of us don't fit into these categories. I'll just mention these other simple end of this section. Let me mention three laws in marriage that can lead to problems. Three important things in marriage that are vital. The first is communication. We have about that very clearly and clearly yesterday afternoon. The second is recreation. And the third is dedication. Dedication to one another. Dedication of a husband to a wife and a wife to a husband. To do that in America, the first is fellowship, communication. The second is fun, recreation. And the third is fidelity, dedication. I believe these are important, basic, factors in a good marriage. And the act of communication, as we saw yesterday, is a very basic factor in breaking up a marriage. I'm not going to say any more about that. I believe too that husband and wife should have recreation, should have fun together. I believe it's a bad thing when a husband, without any evening, he has with his real friends, and the wife never sees him at home on a clear evening. I believe husband and wife should cultivate time together, where they can have recreation together. One of the serious problems in our homes today is a problem of the left and left. When the husband and wife, and sometimes the situation arises, that when the husband's at home, the wife's away. So they hardly see one another at all. I think this is a wrong situation. I believe there are many problems associated with left and left. And I believe they're rather possible. And there are sometimes when a wife has to work to make ends meet, but most of our lives are resting to enjoy easily. Wherever possible, I believe a wife's place is in the home. And particularly when there are children, I believe it's essential for a wife and mother to be in the home. Recreation. And then public fidelity. And of course, this is the cause of many broken homes in the world today. Adultery. there was a sinless sex in the process of idolatry, and that it wanted a last step. A last step of many steps that are taken before the sinless sex. That was speaking to men and women of us. Let us advise and counsel women of us to be pure, that we don't place ourselves in position unnecessary, where we are tempted to be unfaithful even in the slightest degree. I believe every one of us should see to it that we are absolutely faithful to our own work. There are many passages in the book of Proverbs that we can read to convince ourselves of this. And it would be in a Christian work, there should be utter faithful. Not only that we should be more about it, but that there should be utter faithfulness in our affections for the partner of our soul. Don't allow yourself to be involved in any association or situation where we are tempted to be unfaithful, even in the slightest degree. And if there has been unfaithfulness in any manner, or such as is not true, but if there has been unfaithfulness, be sure that you confess to God and to your partner. Be sure that you make a clean break on it. And not bother with it anymore. Be sure that as far as possible you keep out of temptation through to begin. Be sure that you seek God's grace and help to avail that of your unfaithfulness and the control of the Spirit so that you enter not into temptation. Walk in prayer that you enter not into temptation may be a good step to put on your mind all the time when you're in contact with other women apart from your wife. Finally, in just in a very few moments, let's think of the problems of parenthood. And there are a great many problems, and we haven't time to consider them as to be finishing yet. The arrival of children, of course, adds a new dimension to our home. Children are amongst God's greatest gift. Children are amongst us greatest marvel. Children are a man's life's greatest joy. Children don't fly out of the window when the baby arrives. And sometimes preoccupation with the new birth may suppress previous problems for a while. The thrill and pride of being a new birth and other problems may be pushed into the background temporarily. But all too often the problems soon reappear to the host of us. I'm not going to go over these other problems. Let me just give you a list of the possible problems in time is gone, and the problems I'm going to suggest to you are results from the lack of trust in the teachers and are of importance in the Christian family. First of all, the lack of love. I believe that's the first essential. Not only between husband and wife, but between parents and children. And if love is absent, you're going to have problems. Secondly, there's lack of discipline. If you love your child, you will discipline the child. If you don't discipline the child, it's an evidence you don't love the child. But discipline must be carried out always in love. Thirdly, lack of instruction. I believe that we've already had it indicated to us that the prime instruction of children is carried out not in the school, and not in the Sunday school, but in the home. And it's the responsibility of parents to give that instruction to children. Fourthly, lack of communication. The generation and communication gaps have been emphasized and overemphasized of late, and you and I should see to it as parents that we keep in communication day by day with our children. Fifthly, lack of thought is a problem. Unfortunately, all of us have the experience of a child with an acute illness, or a chronic disorder, or an incapacity, and this causes problems in the home. And again, we need the grace and strength of the Lord to help us to know. And then sixthly, lack of provision for the children's needs. Lack of provision. And I want to emphasize one that's already been emphasized, and one that I feel very badly about in my own life and in my own heart. Not only the provision of finances and food and health and home, but the provision of time. Having loneliness is a problem that many of us have. We're so occupied with many things and many good things even in our lives yet, that we don't give adequate time for recreation with our friends, to discuss things with them, to be with them. The problem of sorrow is often the lack of trust. And then finally, there's a final problem, and it's the lack of sorrow. We believe that there are some here who've been married for a while and they don't have anything. I can sympathize with you, it was 57 years before either of us, the little first baby arrived, and we thought we were going to have to do what I could do. And I can know the times and the thoughts that pass through the minds of those who are childless first, and his omniscient wisdom and his benevolent love. It sometimes pleases the Lord to refer this special gift. I believe there are some reasons for that. First of all, to enable us to trust the Lord in a special way. Second of all, to enable us to help to provide a home for someone else. Another baby who would otherwise not have the provision of a good Christian home. Thirdly, it may be enable us to serve the Lord in a very special way that a child would be a humble child. And in any case, it will enable us to experience comfort of the Lord's overruling grace and His blessing when we don't have a child at all. In other words, of course, as we consider together the problem of the home, and I say, having a home, a better home for the Lord, for our partner, for our children. And as a result of this conference, may the Lord give us all help to live for His glory.
Topics of words and other messages emphasizing biblical principles for successful living are available from Christian Counseling Cassette, 968 Sunrise Boulevard, capital S-T, period, capital R-O-U-R-E-N-T, Ottawa, Ontario. Postal code K12EB3. A catalog listing available for sale will be sent to you upon request.